me, it's a tool that is a fantastic tool to be used in a whole variety of contexts.
Welcome to the Circle Holding Podcast with me, Julia Davis.
And me, Tessa Venuti Sanderson. We are the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
We would love for you to join us for free talks, question and answer sessions, all about the art of holding circle. You can find these at circleholding.org. Welcome to the Circle Holding Podcast. This week, me, Julia, and Tessa will be answering the question, what is a talking circle?
Since we wrote the book, lots of people have been saying, well, what is that? And partly it's confused by the fact that people use other terms as well, like listening circle, conversation circle, sharing circle. And for me, it's a tool that is a fantastic tool to be used in a whole variety of contexts. And you'll hear about those other situations in other episodes of the podcast. But in its purest form, it's a group of people. And in person, they would be sitting in a circle, hence the name. And that means that everybody can see each other, everybody can hear each other clearly, and you talk one at a time so that there isn't talking over each other and you can't keep track of what's going on around the group because one person at a time is talking. And that can be really different from everyday conversation.
If you've got an online circle, it's absolutely similar. But what happens with an online circle is it tends to be that people's little faces show up and it's much more like a grid system in little boxes rather than an actual circle. But it absolutely works in the same way. And there's a structure to a circle. So it is not the same as sitting around and having a little chat about your book club or having a little chat when you've had a picnic or something of that sort, because there is a specific way of being there. And in a different episode, we're going to be talking about the role of the circle holder. And that is a main difference. When you're sitting in circle, there is somebody who is responsible for that space.
Because I think sometimes when you start to describe a talking circle, people think, well, I'm always sitting in groups and having conversations. So what's really different about this? And of course, it can happen that you are on a picnic and you all sit around and you spontaneously have this amazing conversation about things you've never talked before. Or perhaps you have a wonderful opportunity to sit around a fire and the same thing happens. But I think with a talking circle, there's usually a clear intention. There's a reason why you're meeting. And it might be a shared interest, or it might be that you're a shared demographic. And so you have lots in common. You want to share your experiences and feel less alone. But for me, the talking circle is special because there's that structure you talked about, Julia, and that you know there's a beginning to it. You know you're going to be held through the process, and how you're going to be communicating is explained. So it's not just, I'm not quite sure how this is going to work. It's very clearly explained. And then there's a closing and you finish. And ideally for me in a talking circle, you finish at the set time. So if you have to go off to work or you've got to get back for a babysitter, you know that that's going to be okay and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and I think when we think about circles, you might be thinking yourself, oh, actually, I've been part of a talking and listening circle and I didn't even know that I was. So we've said that you can call it a talking circle, a listening circle, a shared circle. Often, these kind of groups aren't called circle. So you might have been part of a group that have come together because you've got a shared experience. Maybe you've experienced grief. Maybe you've got young children. It could be all sorts of reasons why you've gathered. And maybe when you went to that group, there was one person who was responsible for it that you spoke to before coming along to it. And then when you went to that group, you felt like something special was happening, but you haven't labeled it before. You haven't gone, oh, actually, what we did was we sat in a circle and there was one person who was responsible for the space. And I was heard for the first time and nobody did interrupt me. And now looking back at that, you might think, oh, actually, I have been part of a talking circle. And there are some areas where you might have experienced this. So if you've ever been involved in a conflict resolution situation where there's been more than two people involved, if there's been more than that in a group, they may have used circle holding skills in that context. If you've ever attended group coaching, that's an occasion where you may have sat in some kind of circle. And also in therapy too, there are sometimes therapeutic circles. In each of those examples, the person who's holding the space has got an additional skill. They've got a skill of conflict resolution or coaching or therapy. What we love about circle holding is it doesn't need to be that. You can be Julia or you can be Tessa and decide that you want to have a group of people in the same room at the same time for a particular reason. And you can hold a circle without holding a certification in any particular skill. You can be a circle holder and just be able to do that or just choose to do that. What we're here for is to maybe set some parameters around which you might choose to do that, that makes it easier to do.
I think for me, I don't know if you'd agree, Julia, that in its purest form, a talking circle enables people to have a chance to share an experience. And then there are people around listening and witnessing that. And that's where it might finish. It might not be that then there's further unpicking of that experience or kind of follow-up questions to help that person think about how they might have responded differently or anything like that. In the most simple form of a talking circle, there's just a chance to hear from people turn by turn about their experience on a given topic. And then, like you say, if there is a therapeutic component to it or somebody is a coach, then they can use circle skills and take somebody on a real journey. But just that listening, just that pure being witnessed is so therapeutic in itself. That can be transformational.
Yeah, that reminds me of the interview that I did with Lee Sagles about men's circles. And he talks really beautifully about the skills he uses in his circles with men to facilitate just what you've spoken about, to facilitate the men there being able to talk without fixing, without somebody diving in with a resolution to what they're saying. And what he really showed was that there were real skills that he used to get people to speak at the beginning of the circle, to get people to speak a little bit more later on, and to build that sense of security so that the content that people shared could feel meaningful. And some of the things that he talks about are really quite heavy and difficult. And often people come to his circles and they're in a place of difficulty and heaviness. But that's not necessarily a reason to have the circle. Often we want to have a circle because we'd like to experience more fun and more lightness and get to know other people better. So a circle doesn't need to be something serious. And if we think about conflict resolution or coaching or therapy, that feels quite heavy. But I know that experiences I've had in circle, both as a facilitator and a participant, have been really fun. It's involved a lot of laughter. What do you think about that, Tessa?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have an example of that from yesterday evening, actually, where I was holding a circle for girls and they were giggling and laughing. It was, helping them to think about periods and starting their periods. But there was talking, but actually there was a lot of making and doing and keeping them very busy. And then later on, they were putting on period pants and running around the room. It was a lot of fun. And I think this is beautiful. Like I said at the beginning, that it's a tool that can be used in so many different ways. So, yeah, somebody might have gone to a circle that, yeah, seems very involved and there's a lot of very deep stuff going on. And another person might have gone to something very lighthearted. And it's a bit like that story of the blind men and the elephant. And they're sort of feeling different parts of the elephant. And it seems completely different because one's got the tail and another one's got a leg and another one's got an ear. So for me, what is common across talking circles is that there's got to be respectful listening. That's, you know, we'll talk more in another episode about the role of the circle facilitator, but it should be a space where there's a feeling of mutual respect. I think that's really key.
Yeah. And also I think that it's often the case that circles are about community and building community and removing isolation. Because as you were talking about the girls running around the room in their period pants, I was thinking about, it's a movement class actually that I run with older participants. And it was very, very intentional that part of that group involves talking circles because they really need community. And many of them live on their own and don't get the community that they might otherwise have. And we always say each other's names and acknowledge each other by name in the group. And there's always an opportunity to talk and be listened to. And it's my intention when I run the group that relationships and friendships will build outside of the circle. And that has been my experience with so much of the circle holding that I've been involved with, is that it's caused relationships to build completely outside of that time together. And I think that's something that's really, really special, that a talking circle creates other circles of connection.
And I think that's where the magic of talking circles comes out, because you have the group dynamics. So compared to going to see somebody for talking therapies where it's one person doing that amazing listening to you, there's something about being in a group and the dynamics that happen between very different individuals that creates something new and can be actually quite a creative space as well. And I just, listening to you talk, I was just thinking how important it is, the intention behind a talking circle, because, or maybe I should say a successful talking circle, because I think when people are very clear about who they're aiming to have in that space and what the needs of those people are and what kind of physical space would be most conducive to them talking, all those little details, when they're really clear, that's when this beautiful container appears, where somebody hopefully feels safe or safe enough to talk about their experience, even if it's a vulnerable experience.
So I hope that's given you an answer to the question, what is circle? What is a talking circle? And in other episodes, we will be looking at how you hold the space, the magic of circle, all sorts of other aspects of what circle is. But this is really a beginning. This is the starting point for circle holding. Thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to the Circle Holding Podcast. I've been Tessa Venuti Sanderson.
And I've been Julia Davis. We would love for you to rate and review this podcast. A 5-star rating means more people will find us.
We're the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
Thank you for joining us today.
You can find our trainings at circleholding.org. We hope that you find a community where you can be authentically you very soon.